is a petition for further review. It's a way you may approach, let's see if everybody gets a second to get in and out before that happens.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Proceed. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and may it please the court, morning to all of you, the Nebraska Supreme Court. My name is Rick Wade of the law firm of Norman Wade. I'm here representing Mr. Andy Archie. I would like to reserve 2 minutes. This case comes from a matter that has to do with, this case comes at a time when there has been a lot of other evidence presented at a lot of different levels. And I say it like that because I'm going to ask the court to indulge me in following a little bit about where we were and where we are now. Because the assignments there have to do with whether or not there was sufficient evidence existed at the time the decisions were made by the commission, the Douglas County Service Commission. And my assignments up there has to do with whether or not there's insufficient evidence existed for the commission to conclude that Mr. Archie did not violate Article 22. So what I'm doing is, several tribunals have had a direct opportunity to review the evidence of this case. And again, perhaps some background of that review is appropriate and I believe necessary. First, on August 25th, 2014, through a procedure referred to as a pre-disciplinary hearing by the Douglas County Youth Center, Mr. Archie's employment was terminated for alleged violations of two provisions of the Douglas County Civil Service Commission Policy Manual. Now, this procedure, this pre-disciplinary hearing procedure, is purported to be an informal exchange of information without a record being actually made of that particular quote-unquote hearing. Second, then a party may then appeal an unsatisfactory outcome to the Douglas County Service Commission, which then conducts a more formal hearing with witnesses called and sworn in to testify under oath, exhibits received as allowed by law, and other legal counsel with legal counsel present and representing both sides. Now, and that becomes a more formal hearing that as an opportunity to actually present the evidence. Mr. Archie availed himself of the appeal opportunity in right before the Douglas County Civil Service Commission, and on November 6th and November 25th of 2014, hearings were held. At that November 6th hearing, which is very important, that Douglas County presented a series of exhibits and witnesses, as did Mr. Archie. Now, after hearing opening statements and after 4 hours of testimony and after receiving numerous exhibits, the commission members went into executive session to consider and weigh the evidence. It then decided to continue the hearing for a final determination to a later date, which was November 25th, 2014. On November 25th, at the continued hearing, the commission members came out of executive session and voted unanimously, after reviewing evidence and all exhibits, to reverse the termination of Mr. Archie's employment and to reinstate him in whole in terms of pay and benefits back to the date of his termination in August of 2014. Douglas County then chose to appeal the commission's decision to the District Court of Douglas County through the applicable appeal procedure allowed for such cases. And the applicable Nebraska state statutes for this type of case are petition error statutes that are found at 25901 to 25912. On that appeal, a standard of review is if there is evidence. In fact, the petition error seems to say, and it does say, that it is not a de novo review of the case. It is if there is some evidence to determined that there was relevant evidence and that that evidence was sufficient for the commission or the tribunal that is steering the case to actually come to the conclusion of the case. So it's not a, it is a very limited review.
Did the commission articulate why it came to the conclusion?
It did not articulate what this, why it came to the decision it did, but I stress that it did review significant evidence. It reviewed, and it actually heard and saw these witnesses that testified, had the opportunity to judge their credibility, to observe the witnesses, to review the exhibits, to ask questions themselves, and to hear counsel ask questions. So there was the opportunity to determine whether or not there was, in fact, some question about whether or not Mr. Archie had, in fact, violated these particular provisions. So
the Court of Appeals seems to ultimately zero in on whether or not your client fully disclosed his background on the application. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct, but those are questions that were asked at the time of this particular hearing. And I would propose and submit to this court that the commission believed Mr. Archie when he said that he believed he was submitting what was necessary and what was appropriate and what he truly believed. He was not intending, nor was there any knowing desire to mislead, to with fraud, or anything like that. That was his statement. Those were his statements. And I believe the commission, I think it would be easy to take that very minor step to believe that they were more in line with his thinking rather than what testimony was offered by the other individuals who said he wasn't honest. Because that was the basis of it. What's that? A question of fact. I think it's a question of fact. I think it's true. I'm sorry?
When you make your application
Well, I mean, if you believe that the reason why you were leaving your employment had to do with the matters which Mr. Archie believed he was leading, had to do with his children and certain publicity or for perhaps publicity and questioning that they may have to endure because of circumstances that may or may not have been true. There were rumors. There were just rumors. So I guess I'm not quite sure. Maybe I've not answered your question. I apologize for that. But they are public. And as being such, Mr. Archie knew.
I think there is,
if it's personal or if it's the same with my family. I mean, the two are very similar.
And both of those trivial questions for the interview process.
They certainly could, and they should. They certainly could and should then trigger additional questions by the prospective employer. Yes, the prospective employer had all the opportunity whatsoever to make further inquiry because he agreed to release everything that was a part of his past employment history and everything else. I mean, he signed every waiver and disclosure and I was willing to disclose anything and everything that they should so desire. It had to reweigh the evidence because there was no, I mean, I think at each level that the county is asking courts to reweigh the evidence, and that is not the standard of review. That if that were the case, every time there was a dismissal, whether it be at an agency or whether it be at a school board, everyone would ask this court and the district court to reweigh the evidence. We think it was stronger on our from our perspective. Now, I don't think this court is meant to do that, nor does it want to be a super body or a super agency. And I think it truly is meant, and because of the petition, their statute is meant to keep it at the level for look. If there is
evidence. Don't you agree that the county didn't have a full picture of what happened in South High School?
But I don't believe that is Mr. Archie's fault. It may not have had a full picture or a full.
So is your argument that the county simply didn't ask him follow-up questions?
Well, the county certainly could have asked him follow-up questions. I think he answered the questions that were presented to him. Had the county wanted more information, he would not have denied or been reluctant.
So they lose because they didn't ask follow-up.
Well, I mean, Your Honor, I think, look, when you look at the application form, there are so many questions of all kinds of nature, but they didn't ask any further questions. A short little line that says, why did you leave? I'd like to answer more questions.
Have you?
You want to finish that answer?
Okay. Yes. I think the county did not ask additional questions. I think they have every opportunity in so many ways. Especially if you look at the evidence that one of the employees said there may be some questions about Mr. Archie, why he left OPS. The superintendent, Mr. Brad Alexander said nothing, which is give him a shot. So there was information there. If you want to ask more. He gave information, and there was that information available. And I think, you know, when you see that line of that particular nature, considering all the other information that is requested of an applicant, I mean, all kinds of things about criminal history, and they do criminal history, they even do a further review of the driving record. But in this particular matter, they did not look into his certificate. They did not ask any further questions. Although the superintendent knew there may be some questions, it's just like, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and give him a shot.
So there's nothing at this point that the county could do once they learned more information about his question.
Well, Your Honor, and when you look at their manual and their policy, I don't think there's anything in there that would require them to do anything more that would allow it. Not require, but allow them to do more, because I don't think he misled them at any level. I don't think he misled them, and it was not his intent. It was not going right or an intentional in any way to mislead. Even if you look at the dates of things that happened, as far as whether or not the investigation was completed, it was completed by the time, you know, at OPS. OPS concluded there was nothing to this allegation. So, and then whenever there was a, later on, when there was actually something filed with the PPC, the Professional Practice Commission, by that time, he had not applied yet for the second job. It was then completed by the second job. The investigation was, and there was nothing pending. And they really dwell on the fact that there was something pending. There was investigation pending, and he should have told them. There was nothing pending.
Thank you. Bogie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Megan Bogie, and on behalf of Douglas County, Nebraska, I would ask you to affirm the decision of the Court of Appeals, which found that the District Court's order affirming Mr. Archie's reinstatement as a teacher at the youth center was not supported by the sufficient relevant evidence on the record. In fact, the Court of Appeals did not reweigh the evidence, but simply reviewed the evidence in the record.
Opposing counsel states that there is a legal importance to that experience, and that the commission records have not presented new records to the waiver correct record. And they simply decided in the end that they can read things with Archie on Archie correctional record, which would be an issue of fact. How is that not sufficient for all the evidence to support the claims?
Well, I believe that's a misstatement of what actually occurred. The commission did not say that it believed one witness over another witness. There were no findings by the commission whatsoever. The order simply stated. Well, I believe the trier of fact does view credibility, and then they have the opportunity to make findings, or in this case, not make findings. The commission didn't say that it found one witness to be credible or that these provisions of the Civil Service Commission's personnel policy manual weren't violated.
Is there a requirement?
Actually, there is, and that's something we raised in the appeal earlier. The Court of Appeals said that it was not perfected on appeal, so that was not brought as an assignment of error to this court. But the Civil Service Commission policy manual actually does state in Article 4 that the commission is to make findings in appeals from disciplinary hearings. They did not do so. They simply said, oh, you can come back. We're going to reinstate you in full. And it didn't say, and maybe you lied on your application. Which is what has occurred here. Mr. Archie testified under oath that he resigned from Omaha Public Schools for the whole situation, which he went on to describe as being on administrative leave, not wanting to deal with OPS administration while he was being investigated for having a sexual relationship with a student at Omaha South, who was a peer of his own children, who were also students at Omaha South, and rumors surrounding that relationship. There is no evidence to rebut his testimony. He referred to the whole situation repeatedly. Well, so Douglas County is not asking this court to. He was terminated specifically for falsifying his application and for. Yes. I don't think anything. I think false and incomplete are the same because at the end he certified that his application was true and complete, and it clearly wasn't. I don't think anything about the phrase "spend time with kids" or "family" remotely hints at what he described as the whole situation. I believe, yes, there is an interview process. There was testimony in the record saying that, you know, spend time with family is a self-explanatory explanation. They didn't feel the need to further press on that. That's different than something saying.
Didn't DC advise all about something of a former student before they hired him?
That's not entirely correct. There was testimony from one, a former employee of DCYC who did hire Mr. Archie, and I would just like to quote his testimony. He said, there were rumors that he resigned from South High over something involved with the next student. I left it at that. I didn't question him any way, shape, or form. And he did not say that he told Superintendent Brad Alexander about rumors regarding our relationship. The testimony from Robert Bryant said, I told him that he resigned due to an infraction dealing with a former student. That was my words, and that was it. Maybe a little less. So nobody in Douglas County Youth Center had any idea of what this whole situation was that Archie described under oath.
An infraction with a former student, and he's going to be in a position working with young people that are incarcerated. Wouldn't that cause some concern for the county at that point?
And I think that's a fair question. I think an infraction dealing with a former student could be a lot of things. And certainly, there was nothing to suggest it was a sexual relationship with a girl who was a student or had graduated within 2 years. This court isn't, Douglas County isn't asking this court to determine whether the relationship existed, whether the relationship occurred at a certain time, whether OPS had an ongoing investigation. These are all immaterial issues. Mr. Archie was terminated for not providing a true and complete reason for his resignation from OPS. Douglas County certainly believes so. The Youth Center. He had two positions. He was a juvenile detention specialist, and then he was a physical education specialist. He had good evaluations. He didn't have a disciplinary history, but again, that's not why he was fired. He was fired for lying on his applications, and I don't think he should be rewarded for being a good employee at the Youth Center when he was only hired because he lied on his application. Robert Bryant, who hired him, testified that had he known information contained in OPS's letter dated 2002 that was marked as Exhibit A, and that letter said, you were investigated for having a sexual relationship with a student within 2 years of her graduation from the school, and that while we can't prove that relationship, we can prove that you lied during the investigation, and we're going to move forward with a hearing before the Board of Education unless you resign. Mr. Bryant said, had he known of any of that information, that he'd been investigated, that he lied during an administrative investigation, he would not hire Mr. Archie. There was no testimony regarding that, Your Honor. I believe that I was talking about the personality of Mr. Archie generally. Mr. Bryant also knew Mr. Archie through. That could be. It's also possible that, you know, people don't, young juveniles don't file complaints. You know, again, this goes back to, and I don't believe there's any evidence regarding complaints, so we're talking about a hypothetical situation here. And I said, he had a good, there was no disciplinary history, he was a good employee, but that's not why he was fired. This is immaterial to the question at issue. Well, I believe that Douglas County has a duty to the community of Omaha. It is a Ronda Youth Center that's a detention facility. It houses young youth, and having somebody on staff who has been investigated for abusing his authority as a teacher to have a sexual relationship with a student and then subsequently misrepresent the consequences of that relationship and how it factored into his reason to resign from Omaha South is prejudicial. And I think that's a fair statement that, you know, more could have been done, but the Court of Appeals, I believe, rightly said, the investigation or decision not to investigate is immaterial. It was Archie's withholding of intentional information that is the crux of the issue here. Yeah, I would like to, before my time is up,
their proposition is they have only have a duty to investigate if.
Well, and I think, you know, Robert Bryant, who was the person who hired Archie, who did hiring, testified that the employer only knows to do something based on the investigation. If there should be an further investigation, or if someone should be hired on a probationary period. And that's why you need to hold employees, potential employees, to the standard of providing true and complete information.
Was there some evidence that a full investigation
There is not. And I think that goes back to that's why he needed to provide true and complete information. That's the crux of the issue here.
Did the county call South Omaha or South Line about their full report?
There is nothing about that in the record, Your Honor. Like I said, there's nothing about that in the record.
And they didn't check his past employment even after having been given a heads up about the fact that he may have left his prior employment under some unusual circumstances.
I can't say yes or no to that because, again, it's not in the record.
Is there ever a point at which an incomplete application simply becomes unimportant because of the passage of time and the successful performance of the employee?
I think it depends. I mean, no, I think when you're applying for a position, I think it goes to honesty, but I also think that
30 years later, the county can still terminate someone the day before they retire because of what they view as incomplete.
I also think it goes to the significance of the incompleteness. And here, omitting the whole situation, that was significant. Mr. Archie even acknowledged in a recorded phone call that was marked as an exhibit 11, he said, quote, even at 17, you're still at legal age. The only thing I can lose is my teacher certificate. I have no problem with doing that whatsoever. If I have to lose my teaching certificate, I don't have a problem with it, because if that's my punishment, if that's what my punishment has to be, then I'm cool with that. So he acknowledged that he knew the significance of the whole situation and that it could impact his teaching certificate, and he could be punished for it. And I think that goes to the deliberateness of his decision to withhold that information from Douglas County.
What more would have been appropriate in your mind to have put in that application?
I think there are a lot of things he could have described the whole situation as, and left pending investigation, frustration with administrative leave. He stated that he left to spare his children from negative rumors and protect them from embarrassment. He could have put something to that effect. All of that would have prompted further questions, and then the youth center could have made an informed decision. But they were denied the opportunity to ever do so by his misrepresenting what actually occurred. Spend time with kids.
They were denied the opportunity rather than they failed to make an investigation.
Well, I don't think, I believe that's why you have the question on the application. So you can look at an answer and determine if you need to do an investigation. I don't think a detailed investigation. Well, he did not put personal that. Yes, I think those are two distinct answers, and there was actually testimony
regarding.
I think personal is very vague. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. That would definitely prompt more questions. And that's the thing, he could have left it blank. And then, as you said, you know, during the hiring process, this could have come out in conversation. At no point during the hiring process there was testimony that he never revealed anything regarding the whole situation to anyone at the youth center at any time during the hiring process, or even after being employed, or while submitting other applications as an employee at Douglas County. There was also, you know, he didn't say spend time with family and then get an interview and say, you know, that box was really small and the question was kind of vague and I just want to elaborate and here's what really happened and, you know, these are some people you can talk to. None of that occurred. And I think that is, you know, the sufficient relevant evidence is that he testified under oath that he resigned from Omaha Public Schools due to the whole situation, which involved being on administrative leave, not wanting to deal with OPS while it was investigating a sexual relationship with a student, and rumors surrounding that relationship. And that was not disclosed on the application. The sufficient relevant evidence in the record supports his termination. Therefore, Douglas County would ask that this court uphold the decision of the Court of Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
He is over.
There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is State v. Brian Dean Smith.